Well, here we are again, sitting in the offices and the conference room for TBHR, Tarlo, Breed, Hart, and Rogers. And that means that this is the for the record for radio entrepreneurs, and that is we are always interviewing the leading attorneys in Massachusetts. My co-host for this segment is the one and the only, my host, Mark Furman from TBHI. Hi, Mark.
Hi, Jeffrey. Great to be with you.
All right. Just back from world traveling, Mark?
Back from a trip to India, so wow. Good to be back.
I bet it is. And our next guest, not a first-timer, but someone I've gotten to know, Mark Josephs, owner and principal law offices of Mark L. Josephs. Welcome.
Thank you, Jeffrey. Thank you, Mark.
So, Mark, tell us about your practice.
Certainly. My practice is focused on, well, I actually do both criminal defense and civil litigation, but my substantive expertise is in healthcare, both in regulatory enforcement, defense, and compliance. I spent 16 years at the Department of Justice in D.C. before moving to Boston, and for 10 of those years, I worked very closely with the Food and Drug Administration and other federal healthcare agencies on bring cases on their behalf, working on compliance programs with them, and I also worked with the Department of Health and Human Services, Office of Inspector General, and the part of the Justice Department that brings the civil fraud actions that are the whistleblower cases. And I had a really broad and very productive experience at DOJ. So I use that to benefit my clients now in Boston.
Great. So what kinds of cases would you be involved in?
Well, I've got I'll give you a couple examples that I'm working on now. I have one criminal defendant who's been charged with Food, Drug, and Cosmetic Act violations, criminal violations, as well as conspiracy because he sold an illegal dietary supplement that he allegedly illegally imported from China. And he's been charged here in Massachusetts, actually lives in Los Angeles, but the shipments came here. So he's been charged in Massachusetts, and I'm defending him.
That's not unusual, is it? These companies that are selling health supplements.
No, it's not. The dietary supplement industry is really the Wild West of quasi-healthcare, I'd call it. Anybody, I could start selling dietary supplements tomorrow. There's no FDA pre-approval required, and the statute governing dietary supplements was really written by industry, and it's very industry favorable, and the FDA has very limited power over dietary supplements. And there are all kinds of sellers on the internet promising wild cures of things like cancer from their dietary supplements, or the classic one is you can lose weight by taking our pill without changing your diet or exercising more.
That's BS.
Which, if that was true, we'd all be taking it.
Mark's taking bicep supplements.
So give us another example of a case.
Another example of a matter that I have I'm actually going out to visit the client today. This isn't a case, it's an ongoing compliance. I became very familiar with HIPAA, the healthcare privacy federal statute, which every healthcare entity has to worry about complying with. The Office of Civil Rights within the Department of Health and Human Services enforces that statute. And they become increasingly aggressive in their fines and in pursuing companies for good reason, because there have been a lot of data breaches. You hear about them in the news all the time. And so I'm representing a medical billing company on ongoing compliance. I'm going to be their outside counsel for HIPAA. And each of these companies has to have somebody like that. So that's a new client I have that I'm starting my ongoing representation with them.
Now, you have a very specialized practice, don't you? Do a lot of law firms sort of bring you into cases that they don't have the expertise on?
Yeah, I actually just saw outside a colleague that whom I had a trial against when there was a trial 2 years ago in Superior Court that involved, it was really a family dispute over a private company that made a medical device and a couple of pharmaceutical products. And the two lawyers that represented the children in the case who had sued their parents needed somebody with FDA expertise on their team because an FDA inspection was at issue and the parties were each going to have an FDA expert. So they brought me in to represent one of the parties, and what I did a lot of was work on the FDA-related issues, and I put on the expert at trial. I cross-examined the other side's expert. And so things like that I'm brought into because of the really deep FDA and other federal health care experience that I have.
So you spent some time, I saw, in working for large law firms.
And yes, I did.
Now you're on your own.
Yes.
So what was that transition like?
I've only been in Boston for 6 years, so this isn't...
It feels like 40, doesn't it?
Actually, it feels like one because the legal market here is smaller than I anticipated it to be, and it seems like everybody knows each other, so I do... a great deal of networking to get to know the other parts of the legal community here, and that's been key for me. But it's been a little slower to develop my practice than I'd have hoped, just because I'm still relatively new here. But I feel like I'm really part of Boston now because of all the network I've done.
But do you have a practice that would have been earlier in your career considered to be more conducive to a city like Washington?
Yes. Yes, I mean, my practice is really, given the expertise I have from my Justice Department days and the different federal healthcare agencies, my practice is much more Washington-based. In fact, when I was at Locke Lord, which was a different entity when I was there, I was a resident both of their Boston and D.C. offices because that just made sense. Because I spent so much time in D.C. and my practice is really involved with the federal government, so it made sense for me to do that.
So how do you build your practice?
I build it through networking, through marketing, through getting the word out there what I do. What really helped me last year, I was designated a Massachusetts super lawyer, and that has been really productive for me because I'm on the Find Law advertising site, and so I've been able to get much more inquiries that are real inquiries rather than somebody who is looking for a free consultation because they saw a lawyer on TV. And these are real calls about healthcare cases, so that's been more productive. And I've also had more referrals lately from, from D.C. I recently, the criminal defendant I mentioned was a referral from a big FDA firm, the largest firm in the country that only deals with FDA issues. And they have about 100 lawyers in D.C., and they referred me that criminal defendant.
Wow. Very interesting practice. We've been speaking with Mark Josephs, owner and principal law office of Mark L. Josephs, and with Mark Furman from the law firm of Tarlow, Breedhart & Rogers, and also our host. Mark, if somebody's looking for you and wants to know more about your practice and get assistance, how would they find you?
Go on my website, which is www.markljosephslaw.com. That would be the best way. And that website details my background and details the areas in which I have expertise. So that's really the best way.
Well, thank you very much for being on the show today, and thank you to Mark Furman, our host from TBHR, Tarlow, Breedhart & Rogers. We're going to take a break. We'll be right back after this short message.